Well, I invite you to go ahead and take your Bibles if you have them with you and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like to spend just a few minutes before we get into God's Word this morning in some intercessory prayer. We've had an opportunity to, as a congregation, to pray already, but with all the things that are happening in our world today, I thought it'd be appropriate for us to just take some time. And so, several things here. One, we're going to be praying for the peace over in Europe, asking God to intervene, because man, if he's left by himself, will only destroy himself. So we need God's help. Amen? We do. When there's a lot of people that are suffering, people that wanted nothing to do with this war, and it's very difficult to watch the scenes on television. So we're going to cry out to God on their behalf, because there are brothers and sisters too. Also, I'm sure that in, doesn't even have to be a size audience here, that there are folks here that are just struggling. There might be some people that you have in your life that are close to you. Could be a family member, could be a friend, someone you've been praying for a long time, and maybe a short time. And you know some things are going on in their life, and you're just brokenhearted about it. Maybe they need Christ. Maybe they just need to get saved. Maybe they have turned away from God and walked away. And you just want to cry out to the Lord in that. And this, when I get to those moments in prayer, no one's going to be looking. But if that's where you're at and you just want to intercede for them on behalf to God, then I would ask you to, if you would, by faith, just stand and make that proclamation. And then we'll move on to other intercessions. There are folks that are sick. There are folks that are struggling with health. And if that comes up and you're one of them, or you want to stand up for someone who is, as I pray, go right ahead. And then we'll close and get started in our text. So let's begin, first of all, by crying out to the Lord for peace on earth. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, our hearts are heavy as we consider what is happening in our world. Some of us have lived long enough to walk through different world wars, civil wars, and around the world, and police actions and whatever else we call it. But Lord, it's just hate and death. And Father God, our hearts are broken for the Ukrainian people and the Russians as well that are caught up in this, surrounding nations. And we cry out and ask, dear God, that you would bring peace to this region. We pray, dear Lord, with not because they deserve it or we deserve it, but because of your great mercy, that you will stop this war. Lord, we think of the innocent children and families that are caught in the middle of it. On their behalf, God, we do not know their names, but we cry out to you that you would come alongside and provide for them and protect them. We ask that your people, God's people, with an opportunity, an unbelievable opportunity to be the hand of God, would find the strength, the courage, and continued opportunities to be Christ there. We ask for a revival in the hearts of the Ukrainian people. We pray that they will turn and look to Christ, and we will see thousands upon thousands trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we pray the same for Russia, Lord. As many there, for whatever reason, we don't know where they're all stand, but many obviously are not in favor. And God, what you might be doing in their hearts of the people there, I pray, Lord, that not just for the sake and the name of the word peace, but they would look to God, their Creator, and His Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, dear God, that they would find salvation through faith in Him alone. And Father, we pray for our own country. There may not be missiles and bombs at right this moment fired on us, but there's worse things than that. As we struggle, Lord, in our own nation even now, with turning our backs and walking our own way from God, and we cry out to you, Lord, and recognize that until we get our act together, until we get our household in order, Lord, I don't think it will be very effective for the Lord Jesus. We pray it will begin in our own hearts and in our churches, Lord, that we'll preach this gospel, that we'll stand upon the Word of God, we'll trust and follow the Holy Spirit, and that we can make a difference in our cities, and that through our cities make stronger states and states stronger union. And we pray, Father, that you'll bring about a revival in the leadership in Washington. And ask, dear God, that you would bring them to the place where they don't trust in all their experiences or skills, but they will trust in the only thing that works, the name of the Lord our God. We ask this, Father, in faith and humility. We pray for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and soon. And yet, Lord, as we pray that, we realize there are many that do not know. So may your church wake up and speak this gospel, for there is little time left. And Father, there are those this morning, even now, that are heartbroken for loved ones who don't know you or aren't following after you. And Father, even now, as they declare by faith, and look to you, I ask, Lord, that you will look at them and hear their cry and bring back those who have walked away, the prodigal sons and daughters, Lord. We pray, dear Lord God, that you would bring them to a place where they're done with themselves, at the end of themselves, and realize the only peace they're ever going to find is in Jesus. And Father, for those who are not Christians at all, those hearts of those moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and family and friends, Lord, that have been praying and praying and praying. And God, we just ask that you will bring about their salvation, that they would trust in you. Revive their hearts, Lord, we pray. And Father, revive our hearts. And Lord, now for those who are struggling with health and illnesses, walking through recently the valleys of the shadow of death. There might be some here that have gotten some bad news in recent months, humanly speaking, and walked through some difficult trials, and Lord, they just feel lost, and they just don't know what to do, how to feel. They're crying out in prayer, and they're hurting. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'll bring the peace and presence of Christ into their hearts even now. And Father God, as we pray that you will bring healing to their body, if that is your will, and if it is not, Lord, I pray that you'll bring a sense of your peace in the valley, that you are with them. Your rod and your staff, they comfort them. And they can be a testimony of the goodness of God, even in pain. So, Lord, we pray for those who are struggling. There are even those, our friends and loved ones, that are in the hospital even now or heading there. Or, dear God, I just ask that you would let them know how much we love them, but more importantly, how much you love them. We pray that you give wisdom to those who are working with them, and ask, dear God, that they would find health and strength spiritually deeper than anything physically, and they would be encouraged by knowing the grace and the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we pray, dear God, even now, that we would be an encourager to them, not forget them, not just a name on a prayer list or something that comes along in an email, but God, we would reach out and we would love on them with our prayers and our concerns and our conversations, that we miss them and that we care for them. For those who are walking with this, it might be a spouse or a child or a friend or whatever it is who's struggling. And Lord, let them know that we're thinking of them too and love them and miss them. Father, we know these are the last days. So above all, may you find us faithful In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you then to follow along with me as I read out loud from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6. The title of our message is Sufficient for Service. Beginning in verse 4. Paul writes these words, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." According to Deputy Barney Fife, he was a judo expert. He could turn his whole body into a weapon. Well, in this one particular episode, called Barney's Uniform, Barney runs into this bully who threatens to beat Barney up if he ever catches him out of his sheriff's uniform. So as the episode goes along, Barney never takes it off. On duty, off duty, wherever he goes, he's wearing his uniform. He knew he was in over his head. He knew he was in trouble, and he felt completely overwhelmed. You ever been there? You ever had that happen where life just comes, and sometimes it comes in big waves where you're just completely overwhelmed? You have moments like that? I've had many. I remember the first time that when Dawn and I had just been married, five or six years maybe, it was a few years there, and we had gone on to Dallas, and we were part of Schofield Memorial Church. Great, great historic church in Dallas. And we said, well, we didn't have any children at the time, so we said, well, let's help out. Let's help out. So we said, all right, we're going to help out with the nursery. And what a good way to learn how to take care of little ones lurking in the nursery, right? Right. Walk in there, I don't know how many babies there were. Now, this is a large church, several thousand people. I think every one of them had five children in the nursery. And all of them needed changing at the same time. Oh, my, yeah, completely overwhelmed. I remember when at a church in West Palm Beach, when we decided to move away from a particular children's program and move to Awana. And they had not really known much about Awana. It took me several years as the children's minister to convince them, I think you really need to go this way. And it was a George Sweeting from Chicago actually was the one. He came down to preach. He was the president of Moody at the time and preached. And he told a story about how Awana changed the church's life. It was dying, and they put it in, and the church turned around like that. That's all it took. I mean, my 2 years of testimony didn't mean anything, but George Sweeting said it. We had Awana the next year. We went from 30 kids to over 300 with about 10 workers. Overwhelmed. You been there? Sometimes you get it just going to work. Sometimes you get it for, the stress of the day. You get overwhelmed. Things can pile up on you. I don't know what kind of uniform you put on like Barney does to try to protect yourself, but we all do it. Sometimes people put on a uniform of just, they withdraw within themselves. That's the uniform they wear. They think that if they wear that uniform of withdrawal, they're going to actually protect themselves from what's going on around them. But bully's still there. Bully's still there. Or they get angry and they get mad. We see this even in children and teens. They can lash out. Because they don't know what else to do. They're overwhelmed, and they can't resolve the problem, and they don't know how to, and they've tried. So they put on this uniform of anger and frustration and anxiety. You know, the Bible's full of this. I don't have to go to Andy Griffith's show. I think of three individuals. First one is Moses. So here's Moses. God calls Moses to go back to Egypt, right? Go to Egypt. That sounds fun. Not for Moses. He argues with God, and this is what he says. Who am I that I should go and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, he's backing up. Do you see him putting on his uniform? I'm not sufficient, Lord. I can't do it. I don't want anything to do with that. Go find Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's better than I am. I think of Gideon, Judges 6. You remember Gideon? So God brings, just calls Gideon. Who's Gideon? Well, nobody knew who Gideon was, though God called him. Sometimes that's what he does with you, by the way. Nobody knows your name. I didn't know who Gideon was. Who's Gideon? Well, God calls this guy named Gideon, and he says, okay, I want you to go rescue Israel from the oppression of the Midianites. And this is what Gideon tells God. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. How many excuses did he give in that one sentence? Like three of them, right? I don't want anything to do with this, Lord. So he's putting on a uniform of excuses. It's the why he can't do God's call. He's just insufficient. I can't. And that's what he does. He backs away because he felt overwhelmed. Can I give you one more? Go with me to Matthew 20. Are you awake out there? You don't want me to dance on stage. It's ugly. Matthew 26, you don't have to turn, but there's someone by the name of Jesus. Jesus, he's facing arrest. He's facing crucifixion on the cross. And scriptures tell us this. This is from the Word of God. It says, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as you will. Scripture says he was sorrowed and he was troubled. He felt overwhelmed. There's so much going on. And he went to his Father and prayed. When the Apostle Paul seems to be facing the same thing, and as you follow along on any of the messages, you realize why. All he's poured into these folks, and now they're criticizing him and putting, you got people from the outside just being critical and trying to bust up any unity they have. And so he's feeling overwhelmed sometimes, and he struggles even with ministry in general. Imagine that. In fact, I'm going to let Paul's own words testify, not tell you. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to turn, but you can. Right the page back, actually, in verse 8, he says this. This is Paul's words. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. Now listen to this. See if you think he's overwhelmed. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. What does that sound like? It's like he wanted to check out. He was done. He had even followed what God wanted him to do, and it was such an overwhelming pressure in his life. Probably for a lot of reasons, people didn't listen, or people acted like they listened, but they really didn't, or, just the pressures of ministry, and he was ready to just go and get out. That's a scary thought. And that's a man of God who loves God. You ever feel overwhelmed? You ever feel overwhelmed at this? If I were to say to you right now, all right, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to preach the gospel. Does that make you feel overwhelmed a little bit? If it doesn't, then there might be something wrong with you. You might have to someone wake you up. That's an overwhelming statement, isn't it, Lord? And if you're like me sometimes, you put on that uniform right away with that sheriff's badge and say, oh God, no, not me. I can't do that, Lord. Not me. I don't speak as well as others speak. You need somebody else who's real good at speaking. I'm just real good at cooking, or I'm real good at vacuuming, or I'm real good at whatever it is. And we come up with all kinds of things, and it's our uniform so that we don't have to deal with God's call because it's overwhelming. Or how about this one? Live at peace one with another. Well, I don't know, Lord. That's pretty hard. I like to live peacefully with the wife you gave me, Lord. I'm just saying. Now, I'm not my wife, of course, I'm not talking about, but that's the excuse that men like to give, or maybe women say it in reverse. The man you gave me, Lord, it'd be fine. Here's another one. Love your enemy. Do good to those who mistreat you. You know that word. You could say it back to me. Now, let me ask you a question. You feel overwhelmed when you hear that and read that? I don't know how you couldn't. Well, it's easy on Sunday morning to say amen to that one. But how about Tuesday afternoon when the enemy's coming, right? That's the hard part. So I like Paul earlier in this whole letter. He says, we are insufficient to do such things. We can't do them, Lord. How many of you felt that way the past 2 weeks? Wouldn't you like to have the power? Lord God, just give me the power for just one day and you could step in and stop this crazy war that's going on. If you had that thought once run through your mind, I have more than once. Every time I read this, I say, dear God, stop it. This is crazy. What's happening? It's madness. Who's sufficient? Well, there's good news. There's good news. Being sufficient to do what God asks isn't something that God requires of us. I'm going to say that again so you get it right. Being sufficient to do what God asks isn't something God requires of us. That's good news. It gets better. Being sufficient to do God's will is something that God provides for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with that being said, I'd like to show you two ways that Paul kind of highlights that. Well, one big idea, two different approaches to that same idea. The first is this. You and I are sufficient. You and I are sufficient to do service through our identity with Christ. Did you catch that right away? He says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ our toward God. And then later he says, our sufficiency is from God who had made us sufficient. He made us sufficient. The great explorer Marco Polo, yes, it's not just a pool game. He actually survived and was a man that lived for many years. He served the great grandson of the great Khan, Genghis Khan. He served his grandson, Kublai Khan, who at the time, according to, I believe it was a Britannica encyclopedia, said, at its peak, the empire covered some 9 million square miles. It was the largest land-connected empire in world history, and it still is to this very day, land-connected empire. It was an amazing mass of miles. And for 20 years, Marco Polo served the Khan. He served Kublai Khan, and he sent him on all kinds of very important missions, and up and down what we now know as being the Silk Road, which was the great trade route between the East and the West. And he developed that, and he made many connections. And there were people that would challenge him in many different ways as he go to territories that they had been taken over by the Khan. But you see, old Khan was far, far away, and this was just one guy with a partner going in the name of Khan to do business with this defeated and captured country. So you would think that there would be a lot of threats against his life, and they did give him a hard time, except he had one thing. If you read in history books, it's interesting. He carried this with him wherever he went. Whenever something happened where they were giving him a hard time, he pulled this out. Now, I don't have anything that looks like it, but it looks like a small paddle. And it was a color, could have been gold, could have been silver. And he pulled it out and he showed it to him. It was known as the Khan's seal of approval. Once that came out, arguments stopped. Because they knew it was coming if they didn't obey. They knew it was coming. It removed every obstacle that Marco Polo ever had. You see, when you and I come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ through faith in Him and Him alone, confessing to God that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him, believing in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, when we come into that living relationship, God puts on us through Christ a seal of approval. Whatever we weren't sufficient about, because now we are identified with the not just the Khan, but the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we now have the authority in His name to do His work. And people will challenge that. They're going to challenge it. They don't want to do and follow the Lord. They don't want to go any other way, especially in today's culture where, you know, do whatever you want to do, whatever it is you feel like doing. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. And yet it's a challenge. We are sufficient. Why are we sufficient? Well, the scriptures tell us that God made us sufficient. Listen to this. Paul wrote this as well. For our sake He made Him, that's Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you catch that? In Christ you have been made perfect in Him, and only through Him, which means you are sufficient to do His work. God makes His servants sufficient through our identity with Christ. But servants are also made sufficient by God in our weakness. God thrives when we're weak. God comes alive when we're helpless. Later on, we're going to read where Paul writes, when we are weak, He is strong. Some of you might recognize the name Brother Andrew. Some of you may not. It's a long time ago, I realize that. Brother Andrew was the founder of Open Doors Ministry. That was a ministry that took God's word into, at the time, the Iron Curtain countries. And so it was illegal at that time to have any kind of religion, especially Christianity. And Brother Andrew's mission was to take Bibles into that country. Now, that was illegal, and you could get in a lot of trouble, either thrown in prison or maybe even killed. And the border guards were extremely careful about who came through. And he was telling this story one time about he was loaded down with suitcases full of Bibles. And the line was so long to get through this one border area, and the soldiers were just, it was taking him hours to go from here to there, because they were taking the car apart, basically, looking at everything that the folks had, making sure there was nothing coming through that was illegal. Bibles would be illegal. He said, what am I going to do? So he's struggling. Lord. I'm too weak, Lord. I don't think I can overpower all those guards with those AK-47s, all right? Probably won't work. What am I going to do? So he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to recognize, Lord, You're the one that's got to do this thing. It can't be me. So he took all the suitcases. He opened them up. He took all the Bibles out of them, and he laid them all over his back seat. And when it came to his turn, and they had taken over an hour, he said, for the car in front of him. When it came to his turn, and the guard just peered in the window for a second and looked at everything in the back and the front, he said, go on through. Didn't stop him at all. Story after story after story. How about, yeah, we're weak. We're weak, but that's okay. You're in a good position when you are. Because when you're weak, God is strong. And He makes you sufficient to do the work that He's called you to do. The great preacher Vance Havner once said this. He said, the Lord has the strength and I had the weakness. So we teamed up. And it seems to be an unbeatable combination, for when I am weak, He is strong. I love it. Why is sufficiency in Christ a big deal? Yes, we are sufficient to do what God's called us to do because we are in Christ by our identity. We have the King of Kings is our commander, and by his word, things happen. You think, oh, it can't happen. Oh, you don't know my God. Because if God says it can happen, it can happen. If God's called you to do something, He's going to give you what you need to get it done. And so we don't need to worry about that because we're identified with Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we're also identified and we also get our strength because we are weak and we recognize that it unlocks that power of God. When we put down our pride, when we take off that uniform that we're wearing, saying, I'm sufficient of myself, I'm just going to walk around like this, I'm going to protect myself. Friend, you don't have to protect yourself. You got someone who's better that can protect you a lot better than you can. And that's Jesus Christ. You just got to take that thing off. But I'm scared. If I take it off the mask, then I'm vulnerable. Well, then praise God, because you're in a perfect place. Because when you're weak and vulnerable, God is strong. Why is this a big deal? Why? Okay, we're sufficient. Well, I'm going to tell you why it's a big deal. Without God's sufficiency, we are lost to God's grace. We don't have it. You can't get saved on your own, my friend. You got to come to the cross humbly. You got to come to the cross expectantly, because it's Christ who saves. It's not whatever you're wearing. Your uniform's not going to get you to heaven. Oh, but I'm doing good things. I'm doing what I need to do for the church. My friend, you're not going to get there. There's only one way to the Father. That's through the Son. You're not going to be able to experience the grace if you're sufficient. But without God's sufficiency, we're also blind to God's path. We have no idea where we got to go. And without God's sufficiency, we're lame to God's call. Another Vance Havner quote. This is Vance Havner Sunday. Our efficiency without God's sufficiency is only a deficiency. Don't you like that? I'll say it again. Our efficiency without God's sufficiency is only a deficiency. It's perfect. You might find yourself here today. You're in a place of being feeling overwhelmed right now. I know I have. Insufficient to do anything about your circumstances. You want to. You want to help. You might even have the answer. But you're powerless to do anything about it. It might be a situation with a friend or at work. It could be a family member. You see something's going on. You say, man, I know what they could do, but I don't know what I can do. And you cry out to God, I can't do it, God. I can't take it anymore. And God says to you, you are absolutely right. You can't. But I can. Will you trust me? Will you take off your uniform? You want the power and the control, and you got all the answers. And won't you just take that sheriff's uniform off and let me be the sheriff? Well, Barney Fife, he was in trouble. But Barney had a good friend, Andy. Sheriff Andy Taylor, he went and visited Barney's judo instructor and asked him, just how good is Barney? And his judo instructor said, why do you ask? He says, well, there's a man that wants to take him on in a fight. And he plainly told Andy Taylor, he said, don't you let your friend, if you care anything about him, get in a fight. He'll kill him. He'll beat Barney up. So they came up with this plan. And they had the instructor of judo put on Barney's clothes. And some evening, as he normally goes, walks through the streets at night, making sure the doors are all locked. It was dark and he couldn't see. The bully sees him. And he wasn't in his sheriff's uniform. He thinks it's Barney, but it's not Barney. And he jumps him. And that was a bad mistake. He gets beaten up really bad. And the next day, when Barney walks into him, he's going to get up the courage to say, you know, you need to listen to what I'm telling you to do. The guy is real submissive and humble. And says, yes, officer, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And Barney thinks it's him. He finally broke through, and then he gets to how Barney gets, you know. Now let me tell you. He never messed with him again. I got to tell you. You and I are insufficient to face these bullies in life that overwhelm us. Things that happen in our lives, and they happen fast. You might be fine today and this afternoon. Woo! Who knows? That's life, isn't it? It comes, and you can feel overwhelmed. And you might feel intimidated. But I got a news for you. Guess what? You got a friend. It's not Andy Taylor. It's not Genghis Khan. It's not his grandson Kublai. It's Jesus Christ. And he is able, more than able, to accomplish anything that you and I have been called to do. You say, man, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it's happening to me. And I'm going to tell you, well, then you're in a perfect position. That just means you are sufficient, because in your weakness, you are strong. If you will just stop, take that uniform off and say, dear God, I can't handle this, but I know you can. And by your grace, the victory's already won. This past week, Pastor Dan's been getting news more and more about what's going on with his parents. You know, first it was just his mom. And she's still not doing real well. I don't know the seriousness, but it was serious enough to put her in a hospital, which is more like a clinic here in America, I think. It's not a hospital like you and I think hospital. And with COVID and everything else that's going on, she just had to be put on a ventilator. And Dan's getting this news. Now, Dan's kind of if you know Dan, his plane flies this way. Right? Doesn't it? I mean, Pastor Keith's plane's, wow! Dan's, but I can see it in his eyes. I can see my friend. I've known him for a while. He feels a bit overwhelmed. And then he gets news about his father caught it and has pneumonia on top of it. And now they have to take him to the hospital. And there's Dan. But you can sense. Dan, you got to go. Church wants you to go. I know I didn't ask all your permission, but I'm pretty sure that's the answer y'all would say. Whatever it takes, Dan, go. Don't worry about money. Money is nothing. Okay? You got friends. Problem. Dan's got dual citizenship. He was born in Guatemala, so he has both. And he needed to have his Guatemalan visa. But it ran out several years ago. And it seemed at first like it was an overwhelming task for this to happen. In fact, some of the people, his family, was saying, I don't know how this is going to work out, but obviously we're praying about this. God could do anything. But sometimes this could take months and even longer than that. So it's just go to Chicago, man. Just go to Chicago, get up there and say, I'm going to Chicago. I said, hallelujah. And he goes up there and he gets some information and it just seems like you got to do this. They'll call me back. And I'm like, he gets back the next day. And I'm like, man, don't wait for them to call you back. So he, on his own, he says, one day he says, I'm going to go back up there again. And just, we've been praying about it. I've got to get this thing. It seems overwhelmed. So we pray together and he goes up there. And it's absolutely impossible for this thing to happen, except for one thing. He has a friend. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus just decided to move the hearts of all those people. And they became helpers. And by the afternoon, he sends me a picture of his new passport. Praise God! And now he's there. Dan is completely insufficient. He'll tell you. He couldn't do this. He can't do it. You have problems too. Serious problems at times that we face. And it's time you and I just say, you know what? I'm insufficient. I can't do that. You're in good company. There's a lot of people that are in that position. But what do? They turn to the one who is sufficient, and he makes you and I sufficient for his service. And I would ask you today, wherever you're at, that you would come to God, the supplier of all our needs, according to his riches, by the way, not ours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That it's time today we do something about this. It's time today that we declare victory in our weakness. So, yeah.
Praise God. I'm weak. I can't get it done. And I declare that Jesus is the Christ, the sovereign Lord. And I'm coming to Him even now. And I'm trusting in Him. And whatever happens, He's still in charge. He sees what's going on in my life. And He's going to do whatever is right according to His will. And I have to trust Him. And I got to take off this uniform and say, God, Your will, not mine, be done. You do that, you will find yourself sufficient. It begins with a relationship with Christ. If you're here today or you're watching and you don't have that living relationship with Jesus Christ, you could never be sufficient for these things. You might survive your life, make some breakthroughs, but at the end of the day, when you stand before God, you're standing by yourself. And like all men who are guilty and lost in their sin, you will die in your sin. But Christ is your friend. The Bible even says, a friend of sinners. If you will trust in Him, you know He died on the cross for you and me, to pay the penalty for our sins, and He made us sufficient through His sacrifice. But you have to come humbly to that cross. You have to declare, Jesus, You are God, not me. I'm weak. You are strong, and I'm trusting in You. Save me from my sins, and God will save you. You can do it right now. You don't have to wait. How about you, believer? I want you to just take a moment and take a look at what you're wearing. Not your clothes on your body, but the uniforms you like to put on as a front. They won't get you to where you need to go. It's okay. Shh, shh. It's okay to be weak. Because God will make you strong. Are you ready to peel it off? See, I'm scared to death. Well, get in line. I'm scared too when I'm there. But we have a God who's faithful and just. And He will see you through. God will make a way when there seems to be no other way. He works in ways we cannot see, right? He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. God will make a way. I'm going to ask the singers to come up now, and they're going to sing that song for us. And I'm going to be here at the front. I'm going to be here praying. If you want to come join me, or you want to come talk with someone, there are people here that can open their Bible and they can share with you how you could know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you just want to come and just cry out to God. I invite you to do that as they sing. We're going to make it easy for people to get out. If you'd like to come and pray, why don't we stand together? Thank you so much for singing.